The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Great to be together as always. Please visit ProAmericaReport.com, see my writings there, and also sign up for the daily emails at PhyllisSchlafly.com. That's the daily wink, what you need to know, W-Y-N-K, what you need to know every day, 8 a.m. East Coast, 5 a.m. Pacific. We send out an email to tens of thousands of Americans, and we tell them what you need to know. That's the daily wink. Short email, a few links, a few comments, and usually one strong assertion. Here comes the cops. I hear from people all the time. It's a great benefit to have this, the daily wink. You're going to want to check it out. And if the cops are coming for me, just tell my wife. She knows where I hit everything. Let's see. Today's Daily Wink, this is going to be a little bit harder for me to explain and lay out. So let me take my time with this. Before we get there, in a moment, we're going to talk with John Schlafly. John Schlafly, of course, does the weekly Schlafly Report with Andy Schlafly, his brother, available archived at PhyllisSchlafly.com. You should check out his columns. Recently, one of his columns either was picked up by them or was they requested it. I don't know how it played out, but it was on the Epoch Times website on Epoch Times, of course, is a great source and a great journalistic effort. Last 5-7 years has really gotten important. And I heard from more than one viewer, one listener to the program and others who said, hey, I saw John and Andy Schlafly over at the Epoch Times. So you're going to want to check out what they're doing. They're writing well, and they're writing on what is ahead, what's happening in front of you, not what just happened. So check that out. All right. Today's wink. Here's what I need to explain to you. This is a little bit of, I mentioned, a little bit complicated, but I have been watching throughout the world how often things that are happening in the rest of the world are echoing what happens in America. Now, back when Brexit happened, right, the British people voted to leave the European Union. That was a huge deal. It was right before Trump. But people started to say to themselves, hey, look, there's a lot happening in the world that are, you know, America is certainly unique in its size and scope and power and influence, but people are people. And you're seeing that. Well, that's happening all over the world. It doesn't mean, by the way, at all that the forces of sovereignty and putting your nation and your people first are winning. Far from it, actually. It means that in places from Italy to Hungary to Poland to France, Paris, London, England, all over the world, there is a movement of people among people to retain, to obtain sovereignty, the respect for their sovereignty. In some places, this is more complicated than in America, because in America, we start from this. Our premise is we, the people, have the sovereignty, and we share that with our government as an act of being together. But we don't have to wait for the sovereignty to be granted to us through the king, because he has a divine relationship that's different than ours. That the rest of the world has a shakier foundation for a reason for asserting that they have a right to sovereignty, that they have sovereign rights. I'm not saying they don't. I believe they do. In fact, I think that we, the people, and the whole operating system we have is closer to what God had intended, meaning how we operate in nature as well as with the notion of a divine being, than any place else. But one of the reasons you have corruption, in my opinion, in other places, is the people that are living together decide who might makes right, that sovereignty comes from a might, as opposed to sovereignty coming from God. It's a big shift. So all over the world, that's happening. Okay, now that's one thing. and all over the world, we are watching the centralizing, the strengthening of powers to squash a movement to respect we the people and to respect people's sovereignty and the communities they form. So whether it's the growing size and scope of the American government that has been encroaching on the sovereignty of we the people all the time, whether it's dictatorships in China, the Chinese communists have clearly stomped on the sovereignty of the people of China. It's not my problem. Let me say it differently. It's not my responsibility or duty to fight for the Chinese people against their communist overlords, but I can describe it. And they've certainly, the communists have certainly swamped over the sovereignty of the people there. And there's other examples. You can certainly say that in places like Russia, where it looks like Putin is a dictator, all the markings and makings of dictatorship, you can say, well, look, Putin is doing that, and he's taking away from people their rights because of corruption and all the rest. But here's where I want to get. In Europe, it is clear. The actions of the European Union are clear. In the last 6 months, they passed 267 amendments. The amendments to the European Constitution would have a dramatic change in the very nature of the European Union. The European Union supposedly was a confederation of nations that got together and they used it for trading and they used it for, you know, sort of a building block to be able to small countries and medium sized countries and large countries to be able to band together. Wouldn't that be more effective? Open roads, passport controls being wide open. So you get one EU passport and you go from place to place, not as much burden or friction. Same thing with trade, same thing with foreign relations in general. But it was not supposed to be a European Union that becomes a centralized government. However, what you've seen over time is between Brussels and Strasbourg, where they also meet, but just call it Brussels, the European Union has grown stronger and stronger. Why? Because they have sapped sovereignty from the states, and they've mostly done it through money, through legalized bribery of the people, smaller states, and said, come on along, come on along. If you don't act like we do, we're going to fine you. We're going to hold back your COVID money because we're going to fine you. By dint of the ability to be a larger unit, negotiating wise, they can control a lot of the economy against smaller states. Hungary is the best example right now. Orbán has resisted. So where we're at now, and the news that broke overnight, the Europeans want America to fight the war in Ukraine, fund it. And they say they want to do their own, but they really don't want to do their own. They want us to do a lot, and they want to do a little. And so overnight, there was a story that broke, and I was watching this, and this is the, you know, Pro-America Report finds these instances where you have to understand what's happening and who's doing it to see what's really going on. So the news came out that the EU has decided that they will give $5 billion for a weapons fund to help. They all put their money in the kitty, and then they buy weapons as Ukraine needed it. Well, that sounds, if you're a Ukraine supporter, that sounds pretty good, right? You say, well, oh, good, $5 billion, that's not nothing. And when Ukraine says we need land vehicles, we get them. When you need armor, we can get them. And you go to the fund, and you say it's like a bank, right? Except when you read closer, what you discover is the European Union says everybody pay in. Oh, and by the way, if you've already sent some stuff to Ukraine, you don't have to pay in. What? Well, the most obvious beneficiary of that is Germany. And why does that matter? Because Germany, if you're living in Moldova and you have to contribute $100,000 to the $5 billion weapons fund, you don't sell most of the weapons. In fact, Moldova, I don't know if they make any weapons, but you know who does? Germany. And you know what the EU does? They buy from themselves. So the Germans are effectively coercing the rest of the EU into contributing their money into a fund where the fund is used to buy German weapons and French weapons. And so you see what it is? It's taking from the people of the European Union to strengthen and fund France and Germany. And anybody that's serious that watches the EU sees that. The fingerprints of the Germans and the French, but mostly the Germans, on controlling the loss of sovereignty for their own economy, for their own wealth, is so obvious. It's so blatantly obvious, and this is the perfect example. So the Politico, of course, Politico being run by the left, and you know, I call it the sophisticated left, meaning that they know they have long, you know, they have multiple degrees and masters and things, and they use big words, but they try to hide it from you. EU cash for Ukraine. The bloc agrees on a $5 billion weapons fund. Kyiv is desperate for the aid, but the getting the deal meant having to finesse objections from France, Germany, Hungary. Nonsense. The objections were, Hungary objected to all of it, said, why are we sending money? We don't have the money. That was their objection. It looks like they were all together, right? France and Germany objected. They didn't want to have to pay. If there was a $5 billion fund and everybody paid their share, they would have had to, France would have had to pay $500 million. Germany would have to pay, $750 million. And they didn't want to have to pay. Instead, they want you to have to pay if you're another nation, not a strong nation, not a stronger nation. You pay, they benefit. And now, the payoff. What you need to know, it's the same jive with NATO. America is told, you pay, America, you pay hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars over the last decades. You pay for weapons, for troops, for everything. We charge you for real estate. We charge you for everything, America. And oh yeah, we're supposed to put 2%, maybe 3%. I forget the number now. And we're not going to bother. You're going to have to buy from us. You're going to have to deal with us. You're going to have to be in cahoots with us. We're going to jerk you around. Mostly you have to pay. At a certain point, the people who are willing to let the EU hold them hostage, those are the other nations, because they're in this system, they're trapped now. Or America, if our leaders refuse to stop the freeloading. And by the way, I would take the freeloading. I would take the free riders. You know, if the free riders of NATO were like, hey, look, we're a smaller country. We don't have the ability to do this, but you can always do a percentage. You see, that's the trick. If your budget's only $100 billion, you can do a percentage. But if it's $350 billion or $100 billion, $1.2 trillion, whatever the number is, you can do a percent, makes it fair. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what you need to know. They're taking our sovereignty in many, many ways. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Ed Martin, Pro America Report, back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. If by popular demand, well, I'll just admit one person said to me one time, John Schlafly, who's our next guest, you know, you always finish abruptly with John Schlafly. You got more to say. You should talk to him longer. And I wish I could say it was your mother, but your mother is deceased. It wasn't her. It wasn't anybody we knew. It was just someone who listens to the show, actually has a podcast, and said, I want to hear more John Schlafly. So today we're going to give you a special double John Schlafly. John Schlafly, of course, writes a weekly column with his brother Andy. It's called The Schlafly Report. It takes two Schlafly children to do what Phyllis Schlafly did herself, which was a weekly column for decades and decades, but they do pull it off. It is worth noting that two brothers, two siblings doing something like that every week. There ought to be a pay-per-view, kind of video thing of the two brothers negotiating what the topics are. I have a little bit of insight and how it should look and editing and all. It's quite an achievement. So welcome back, John. And this week you're down at the border again. Let Texas secure the border. Walk us through what you and Andy are pushing here. I know the Attorney General Ken Paxton plays a big role in what's happening down there. Well, walk us through this.
Well, as you know, Ed, we're big fans of Texas Attorney General Paxton, and he's brought really hundreds of cases, and many of them relate to protecting the border. And, of course, the vast majority of the illegal migrants have crossed the border into Texas. So it's a critical issue for Texas, and yet Texas is being prevented by the Biden administration from protecting that border. There have been a series of cases about that. You may recall the case involving the orange buoys that
floated in
the river. Well, that case is still pending. Then there, you may remember the case involving the not really barbed wire, but concertina wire, which is different. But Texas set up concertina wire, also known as razor wire, to protect a park in Eagle Pass along the border. I like that name for that town. It's a small town, but it was overrun by 100,000 people. Anyway, but no, the latest conflict, which is now, once again, the Biden administration took Texas to the U.S. Supreme Court, has to do with the law called SB4, which the Texas legislature last year passed and Governor Abbott signed, but it was to take effect just this week. And so the Biden administration went to court and asked for a court order to prevent the Texas law from being enforced. So what does this law do? This Texas law, SB4, it authorized Texas to, first of all, if if migrants are trespassing on private property, they can be arrested and prosecuted, and then they can be taken to the border. Now, Texas cannot literally deport somebody. Only the federal government can do that. But what the law authorizes Texas to do is to escort these illegal migrants to a port of entry. Mind you, these people crossed not at a port of entry. They just crossed in the middle of the Rio Grande or in some unguarded area, and mm-hmm. that's how they got in. But the law requires people to show up at a port of entry. That means there are Border Patrol or other federal officials on hand right there to stop them, question them, identify them, and either allow them in or refuse them. And so this Texas SB 4 law would allow Texas Rangers to deliver illegal aliens to the port of entry and then hand them off to federal agents to send them back to Mexico. That is the theory behind this. And it's a great idea, except that Biden is not going along with it. And, you know, we all listened to Biden at the State of the Union address, where he, in an unguarded moment, thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene, he referred to them as illegals, and his whole left flank went into a complete outrage about that, went into a tizzy about that. And they forced President Biden to apologize calling them illegals. Oh, he said, no, we've got to treat these people with respect. We're not, it was a mistake to call them illegal. And he said they were undocumented. Now, of course, that's not totally untrue. They're not undocumented. For one thing, they've been given documents by the Border Patrol under Biden's orders. They were given documents. So they have documents.
John, let me pause you for a second. We're talking with John Schlafly. His column, Let Texas Secure the Border, posted over at phyllisschlafly.com. It walks you through this. But pause for a second, John. For the layman, John Schlafly is an attorney, actually has an advanced degree in tax law also, and has written for decades now with his late mother, Phyllis Schlafly, and on many of these topics. But John, pull back for a second. When I just did a segment on the program about how the creeping sovereignty grab of the EU, of Washington, D.C., against, in the case of the EU, against member nations, in the case of America, against the states, what is the argument that says the federal government gets total control at the border? The Constitution it does say that the federal government has this role, but it's not everything, right? I mean, in other words, it doesn't say we hold the right to the borders and you get nothing. How would you describe that balance to a layman?
Well, like many things in the United States Constitution, there's a balance between federal authority and state authority. And so the Constitution does say that the Congress has authority to prescribe uniform rules about doesn't use the word immigration, but it's flipped my mind exactly what the word is, but it amounts to immigration, and the word uniform is there.
Right.
So the point is, you know, no state can have its own immigration policy.
Right.
Because once people are allowed in, you know, they don't stay in that state. They can go anywhere they want. So there's uniform policy, and there's many laws have been passed over the last 200 years relating to immigration and naturalization. And but on the other hand, there are two other provisions of the Constitution that refer to states' rights to protect themselves against invasion.
Right.
And Texas has argued that that's exactly what's going on right now. Texas is being invaded by hundreds of thousands of people who are being supported by an armed force. Now, the migrants are not armed, but they're being supported by the drug cartels.
Right.
And that really should be viewed as an invasion. And Texas cannot be forced to sit idly by and do nothing while hundreds of thousands of people are streaming across the border who have no legal right to enter.
John, so Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution grants Congress the responsibility, quote, to establish an uniform rule of naturalization. That's what we basically say. You can't be Texas and tell people whether they can come visit our nation. You have to let people in, and the federal government will be the one that, under the Constitution, that decides how you become a citizen. It really doesn't say about to your point. That's limited. It's not a plenary. No. A grant.
And to carry out that provision that you just read, Ed, Congress has passed many laws relating to uniform rules of people coming and going into the United States. The trouble is Biden is not enforcing them.
Right.
And so the question then arises, if there is an unenforced federal law,
right,
can a state such as Texas step up and say, well, this is federal law, and we support federal law. And if the federal government is letting the law go unenforced, we're going to step into that breach and help you enforce it.
Yeah. Right. Again, now, but we're talking with John Schlafly. John, let me just say it's now we're in Article 4, Section 4. United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And the idea then is, well, if the federal government's not protecting you against invasion, you obviously have a right to do that. In other words, you cannot say you have no right to protect yourself from invasion if you're saying the federal government, as part of this deal, will play that role. But if they don't play the role, you still can play it. You don't lose it. You're not granting that right. I mean, this is that tension. Let me take a break, John, because we're up against a stop. We'll take a break and be right back. We'll talk with John Schlafly. We'll continue talking with him after the break. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Ed Martin talking with John Schlafly, as requested by one of our listeners. Longer John Schlafly. So here we are. John, this showdown with the Constitution, though, we were talking about before we went to the break. So you have the federal government. The argument has to be the federal government's not doing its job, therefore we're doing ours. And is that what we're waiting for, or in the courts? Or is this one of those political arguments, you know, that the courts are saying, the grant of your sovereignty, we the people, to the states, into a federal government, you got to sort that out with politics.
No, it's like everything else in our country now, it's the court case. And so the Justice Department sued Texas, and also the ACLU brought a separate suit against Texas. And both of these suits really make the same argument, which is that the Texas cannot be allowed to step in and help the federal government. Biden should be allowed to leave federal law unenforced, and Texas just has to live with that. That's the argument they're making. And that issue is pending before the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, which is generally conservative, but the other side is not waiting for that court to rule. Instead, they've gone all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court on an emergency basis, and they want the U.S. Supreme Court to stop Texas law immediately, like today, without waiting for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to have a full hearing and write their whole analysis, which eventually will happen, and then it'll go back to the Supreme Court probably next year. But they're trying to nip this in the bud because, you know, next year, of course, Biden hopefully won't be there anymore.
Right.
And what they want to do is Biden's bound and determined to bring in as many of these illegal people as he possibly can during his four-year terms in office. You know, betting that once they're in, they'll never be removed.
John, I have always thought, let me segue a little bit. We're talking with John Schlafly. You must read his column. He and Andy, they are almost always, I can't say 9 out of 10 times, they're writing about a topic that nobody else is covering the way they are, and you're going to learn something. The 10th out of 10, I think, is probably where John loses a fight with Andy over the topic, and they cover something that's still interesting, but maybe not as relevant. But anyway, but John, here's my question. Did Elon Musk stumble onto the real truth of what the Democrats are doing? Because for many, many Americans, they look up and say, even though the Democrat Party is crazy on a lot of stuff, we don't understand how you can defend 10 million people coming into a broken immigration system and being awash with this country, especially when, again, the evidence is clear. It's not family of four with Our Lady of Guadalupe icon coming across the border. There's some of that, but mostly in these 10 million, it's been military age is the way they say it, or you know, young people that are unaccompanied minors. It's just a mess. And Elon Musk in the last week or so has tweeted a number of times something that you've written about for a decade and your late mother wrote about for 25 years, which is the census. That as a political matter, yes, it's true that illegals may eventually be able to vote. In some crazy places, they can vote now. New York City, I think, considers it for some things, or maybe in San Francisco. But that's a long way off. But in the short term, it really does distort the census. And the census is the best path to political power. If you had a real census of American citizens, I think you probably could eliminate, you would have a 15 to 20 members. I don't know the number. You correct me. In the House would switch parties because of this. Tell us, walk us through this, and that Musk is on this, which is something you were on a long time ago.
Well, Elon Musk is a very smart man. And yes, he has seized upon this point, which many people still don't get, which is that even if non-citizens don't vote, of course, they're not supposed to vote, but just the mere fact that they're a body taking up space, is they're ordinarily counted in the census every 10 years. And that means they contribute to the number of congressional districts and the number of electoral votes that the state where they're living on April 1st in the census year gets allocated. And as you say, there that it results in the shift of probably, you know, dozen or maybe two dozen seats from between the states, because the state is apportioned the number of seats in the House of Representatives and in the Electoral College based on, as the Constitution says, the Constitution is based on numbers. It doesn't say citizens. It says numbers. And the general theory is that anybody who isn't a visitor. Now, you know, tourists are not counted.
Right.
But anybody who is a resident, regardless of their citizenship status, is supposed to be counted in the census. And if we have 10 million, of course, we had 11 million already. But if we have 10 million more, that's 21 at least million. And those people, they're not evenly distributed across the United States. They are concentrated in a few states. And the states where they're concentrated will get more votes in
right.
the House and in the Electoral College. And even within a state, they're concentrated. So I saw some figures that Maxine Waters, for example, who's one of our, is probably not one of your listeners' favorite members
right.
of Congress.
Right.
But her district happens to be a district that is concentrated with a very disproportionate number of non-citizens. And so the number of people who actually vote for Maxine Waters is fairly small. But she casts her the same vote in Congress
right.
as every yeah. other member of Congress. And it's the illegal aliens who reside in her district who give her that power.
Well, and say that, and I'll say it clear, John. Maxine Waters sits in a district. What's the total number of people of in the census, the count that you're supposed to have the number in a congressional district? Is it 750,000 approximately?
750,000 to 780,000.
Okay, so let's call it 750,000 people have to reside in your district to get it carved up to be one vote in the House.
That's, of course, men, women, and children.
Right.
And they don't all they're not eligible to vote. All of them are eligible to vote.
But
there's a lot difference between, you know, your child versus an illegal alien.
Well, right. And but even more importantly, just think about Maxine Waters. She may represent a district in a normal district. Let's say a normal 750. Again, I know these are averages, but you'd say, well, a third are going to be under the age of voting. So let's say it's just 500,000 voters. Let's pretend it's 500,000 eligible voters to be represented of 750,000. Not perfect math, but close enough. But in a district like hers, what she gets is a district where she has, let's say, 100,000 illegals that can't vote for her. So she's only really representing of voters 400,000. And what happens is in the cities, Chicago, LA, they're happy to load the communities with more illegal immigrants that they can count as residents because it's an increase in power. It's very simple math. John, I hate to say this. It sounds so ridiculous because you and I've been doing this for 20 years together. But to me, I always say politicians care about only two things, money and voters, votes, right? This is the answer to 10 million is not at all, because Joe Biden's not going to live long enough, not making fun of his age. He's not going to live long enough for the amnesty that they're going to try to push in 5 years or 10 years. But the census comes around and it's not that far off again. So that seems to me to at least be a helpful way to look at it for the average person.
Yes. And, you know, congratulations to an immigrant, an African-American immigrant, Elon Musk, for identifying that and bringing that to the attention of the millions of people who follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well,
that's
and he'll,
a subtle point, but more people need to understand that.
Well, he'll have to be silenced. That's all that's going to happen there. We'll have to find a way to silence him. That may be what this TikTok ban is. A lot of discussion about whether there's that it's really a power grab. All right, John Schlafly, thank you for the extended Schlafly report. We appreciate it. We'll see if this satiates the demand for longer conversation. It is very helpful. Thank you, John. We will take a break, everybody, and we'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily commentary continuing the conservative pro-family legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
When Joe Biden's senior campaign aide was asked recently about the top priority for a Biden second presidential term, he responded, quote, "Restore Roe, abortion, top thing we'll do," end quote. This was as Joe Biden was kicking off his reelection campaign and listing his number one priority, restoring Roe v. Wade and abortion on demand. To be clear, Biden is saying that he wants to spend his political capital first and foremost on passing a federal law that would make taxpayer-funded abortion mandatory and that would remove any limitation on when you can get an abortion. If that sounds crazy, there's good reason that Joe wants Roe. Money and votes. An alternate theory for Biden's answer to what is your number one priority is that he's pandering to his base, and his base is women. He doesn't care about anything else. In other words, he sees votes in Roe. At this moment in history, Biden is a man leading a women's party. The Democrat Party focuses on women almost exclusively. His campaign actually listed three priorities: restore Roe, limit gun rights, and cheap insulin. All three of these pander to young women, suburban women, and black women, respectively. Now, it used to be that a president would talk about the middle class and what they need, and a Democrat president could be counted on to talk about unions and union jobs. No longer, because the focus of the Democrats has totally shifted. This is why we should always follow the money. Abortion is big business, and Planned Parenthood of America gets almost $940 million U.S. tax dollars each year. With our tax dollars, Planned Parenthood also spends huge amounts of money to hire and employ Democrat-leaning workers. That's their political army. Also, Planned Parenthood supports Democrat candidates directly in their elections. If you're pro-life and try to run as a Democrat, Planned Parenthood-affiliated folks will take you out of the race. The pro-abortion stance isn't an earnest pro-women stance. It's a pro-big business position, the business of killing babies.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Despite the outrageous pro-abortion stance of many liberals, the vast majority of American people value human life. More than ever, pro-life voices need to stay vigilant and be heard. At PhyllisSchlafly.com, we're not backing down. Please, join us in the battle for life at PhyllisSchlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Hyde again, filling in, guest hosting here for Mr. Ed Martin today, and glad to be back with you to wrap up the show. What a good one. And I just wanted to come back in, and I got a couple of thoughts to offer. We always talk on this program about being informed, about going and finding out for yourself, following the facts. What is it? Ed's phrase, distrust and verify. That's a good motto in today's world, with a world full of fake news. We really are responsible more than ever for finding our own information and facts, for doing the legwork, for being citizen journalists, since the journalists aren't doing their job anymore. Now, make no mistake, there are still good resources. There are great places out there. We talk about them all the time. In fact, we have a lot of their folks on, people who write at American Greatness, folks who are over at the Epic Times, Just the News, Newsmax. There are good places who are writing good stories, who are speaking the truth, who are finding real facts that aren't just the mainstream media, that are all driven by the same slavering narrative, pro-establishment, pro-machine, to support this regime that is currently in place, the Biden administration, the leftist move that we're seeing. There are good places. However, I would like to encourage you once again to consider a lot of the resources that we put together, because there are a lot of places that move fast and furious. It kind of gets lost every single day under the news cycle. There's just no way to help that. The news moves so fast that some of these places have to keep up with what's being talked about. And then there are a lot of fantastic organizations, but they advocate for just one thing, or they really have their one big issue and they talk about a few others. And I have no fault for any of these things. It's just pick and choose, each to its own. But there is a really neat legacy here at Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And this is kind of what I wanted to bring up. There's a really cool legacy of not only going into several different topics. Phyllis has a huge legacy across the pro-family movement, the fight for life against abortion in America, the fight for traditional marriage, both legally and culturally, the fight for religious liberty, all of these different things. There's also this huge history of fighting for constitutionalism, for a sound judiciary, for responsible fiscal policies, for sovereignty-first border and immigration policies. Across all of the spectrum, there's just this wonderful wealth of fundamental conservative principles being applied across the field of issues that face us today. And even though Phyllis isn't with us anymore, she passed away in 2016, we still carry on that mission. And even though we don't claim to be right and to know exactly what to do on every single issue, all the jots and tittles, we want to have the conversations. And we have those conversations out loud for everyone to hear and to participate in. And there is an incredible wealth of knowledge. This program, the Pro America Report, is kind of a part of that. It's under the umbrella. Obviously, we're on the Salem Radio Network here, streaming out of San Diego, and it gets, Dopplered. I don't know if that's the correct word. It gets ported into several other places as well. You might be listening to this on the radio in St. Louis or down south, or you might just be listening online to the podcast. But nonetheless, this is one of those connected things, but there are several others. I am proud to be able to host a great live stream program on Thursdays, and I don't say that because of me. It's a great program. We talk about a lot of interesting stuff, and we actually talk. Mason, the co-producer of this program, he and I sit down every Thursday at noon on our live stream program called Unauthorized Caucus, and we talk about these things. We pick a topic or two, and we actually have out the conversation. People hop into the chat, and we talk about it. John and Andy Schlafly write a fantastic column problem. And it laser focuses into an issue, brings in tons of historical concepts and perspective and context. That's not concepts, context. That's the word I was looking for. It pulls a lot of great stuff together each and every week. Every Tuesday night it comes out. You can go to phyllisschlafly.com, and then it echoes across all kinds of places. WorldNet my goodness, I can't speak today. WorldNet Daily carries it. Townhall.com carries it. So many other fantastic places echo that column out into the world, and it just keeps going. There are great things that come from here. The Education Reporter, that's another one that's just absolutely incredible. Our Education Reporter editor, Sue Kunstman, just does an incredible amount of research, and there are wonderful articles that really hone in on the education issue, book review, all kinds of great stuff available every single month over at edreporter.org, edreporteronline.org. There is great stuff, and I can't even tell you how important it is to go and be educated, to go and just fill yourself and your own knowledge with context, with little things here and there that you can recall. You don't have to know everything all at once, but you need to know a little bit of the connectors to be able to critically think about things and plug it in and put things in their place and decide where we should or shouldn't as Americans land on these issues. Let me encourage you, go over to phyllisschlafly.com, proamericareport.com, where Ed does his writings. You'll find all the stuff again for this program, but also there is where you're going to find the Education Reporter. You're going to find John and Andy Schlafly's weekly column. You're going to find the Phyllis Schlafly Report monthly newsletter. You're going to find the Education Reporter, which has been out since 1986. There are so many incredible resources, and this is just the one organization that has a well-rounded view. Again, there's several others, and you'll hear us reference them and talk about them. I can't even stress to you, as much as Ed talks about and is absolutely correct, we must distrust and verify. Where do you go to verify? This is it. I'm making that pitch. I would love, and I'm appealing to you to do that. There are great programs as well here on the Salem Radio Network that you're going to hear from also that are going to talk about all these issues in long form, and we're going to flesh it out. And how does that connect? It is more important than ever before to not only be informed and to be consuming these kinds of sources and resources, but it is important to be having those conversations with family and friends, because we got a lot of people who I think at base agree with us on a lot of the issues, a lot of these things that really are common sense, not the fake common sense things, that political phrase that the Democrats like to use. Real, honest to goodness, logical, common sense things that are better for America and better for her people. That's what we need to be listening to, consuming, processing, and then talking about to other people who we know agree with us, but they are battered every day by the fake news narrative machine that we must beat back. So distrust and verify, but there are some places to go and verify. Thank you for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thank you for being the wonderful listeners that you are, the great family we have here to talk to every single day. Thank you to Ed for being such a wonderful host, and Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything running in the background. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget, go to proamericareport.com and Phyllis Schlafly.com. Grab today's show, share it with a friend, and we will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow on the next edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.